This is for the culture. That's right. The vendors up the fly, and you know it.
Hello, Newark, and everyone listening in. I'm here with my co-host, Desiree Hadley, and we welcome you to episode 12 of season 3 of Raz in 60.
How you doing, man? I'm good. How are you?
All right. I don't know if our listeners know that for years, Newark's downtown corridor has housed some of our country's most popular shopping destinations. The rehabilitated Haynes & Company was once a major department store. Newark was where people from all over New Jersey came to shop at flagship department stores like Bambergers, Woolworths, and many other popular outlets. Here's a fun fact. Before Macy's brought Bambergers and took the parade to Manhattan in 1957, the famous Thanksgiving Day Parade was held right here in the city of Newark with all its giant balloon characters, a five-mile extravaganza that culminated at Bambergers on the corner of Market and Washington Street. 1931 newspaper reported that at the end of the parade, the balloons were released into the sky. For almost 30 years, the parade drew crowds from throughout New Jersey, sometimes topping 600,000 spectators. In fact, Santa's sled in the 1947 Christmas classic Miracle on 34th Street and a patriotic parade float were borrowed from Newark for the filming. So the idea of Newark as a dynamic destination, as a mecca for excitement and commerce, is nothing new. That's why today's show is focused on reviving our downtown neighborhoods into bustling, safe, cultural retail and restaurant destinations. And on the 6th of September, this administration, my administration, and Invest Newark launched a program to help businesses and not-for-profit organizations locate, relocate, or expand their operations in Newark's burgeoning downtown core. The program, known as the Newark Retail Reactivation Initiative, aims to support businesses that are looking to bring more retail, cultural, and dining experiences downtown. Populating our downtown space spurs an upward spiral that improves aesthetics, safety, and quality of life in the heart of our city and turns long vacant storefronts into amenities for Newark residents, our workers, and students. The city and Invest Newark will make low to no cost financial assistance available to businesses looking to locate in the focus area that we're calling the Downtown Arts and Education District. Business operators will be eligible for up to $650,000 in support, depending on the square footage of the storefront. And in a moment, we will speak to the president and chief executive officer of Invest Newark, Marcus Randolph, about this initiative. And also joining him on the show today is Audible's vice president of urban innovation, Aisha Glover, to add to the discussion with details about another program that Audible launched over the summer for startups looking to relocate around Harriet Tubman Square. Audible is offering them a $250,000 relocation grant. After that, we have a second set of guests, restaurateurs and owners of the popular Harlem, New York restaurant, Boulevard Bistro, Markeisha, and Carlos Swepson will speak about their plans to open a Newark location for their restaurant in the downtown district in the near future. Also joining is Anthony Frazier, an awardee of the Audible Grant Program and the owner of the startup ABF Creative.
All right, we have a great lineup today. I'm excited about today's show. Very excited. All right, so before we move on to the guests, as we always do, we have a little bit of Newark news just to kind of talk about what's been going on in the city. So it's basic. On Tuesday, October 24th, the city of Newark hosted a film screening at NJ Pack of It's Basic, a documentary, which is really good, by the way. It's one of my favorite initiatives that your administration put out, the Guaranteed Income Program. So the documentary is about the Guaranteed Income Pilot Program and show the transformative effects of financial stability on recipients in Newark and other cities around the country. A panel discussion took place afterwards about the power of guaranteed income as a policy solution. How was that conversation, Mayor?
That was great. Okay. That was a great conversation. Yeah.
Yep. And all right, moving forward, affordable housing has some updates and some news about that. Newark residents, I think we mentioned this in the last show, but we're going to keep reiterating it. So Newark residents now get first dibs on all affordable housing. Following an amendment to the Inclusionary Zoning Ordinance, Newark residents receive a 90-day exclusive period to apply for available affordable housing and are considered before applicants from outside city limits. Moving along, another update about housing. Ridgeview Square opened earlier this month. There was a ribbon cutting at 746-58 South 14th Street. These apartments will offer 1, 2, and 3 bedroom units. For information, listeners should reach out to the management company at info@ridgeviewsquare.com. Last little bit of news, Raise Your Voice Leadership Academy. On October 16th, you announced the launch of the 15-week Raise Your Voice Academy Leadership Academy for 80 city youth aged 14 to 24. This program will instill participants with skills, techniques, and for analyzing community challenges and advise them on leveraging their newfound resources and solutions. And positive change. Yeah. How was that Raise Your Voice Academy? And yeah. if people want to be a part, is there still openings or?
I don't know if there's any more openings. I know that Tariq Roland from Newark Works Workforce has put this together for us with Rutgers. So I think they have all of their students now, all of the young people. But this is something that we're going to be doing all the time. So I would reach out to their office to try to get involved. Yeah.
So that's good to know. All right, Mayor, so we can move along to welcoming on the first pair of guests.
Yeah, let's welcome our first pair of guests today. Is joining us, President and Chief Exec Officer of Invest Newark, Marcus Randolph, and Vice President of Urban Innovation, Audible, Aisha Glover. Let's welcome them to the show. How are you? Aisha Glover, back in the building.
Doing well, Mr. Mayor. How are you?
Just want to welcome you guys to our show. Today, you know, we're going to be talking about the initiatives that you guys have in the downtown district, you know, trying to attract business occupancy. We were talking about AI today at our Friday meeting. So I just typed really quickly on my ChatGPT form. What's the best way to reactivate retail in the city's downtown corridors? And they came up with seven very, interesting things. One, assess the current situation, evaluate the current state of downtown retail. Two, and it says more than that, but that's just the gist of it. Engage with local stakeholders, collaborate with local businesses, property owners, community leaders. Three, market downtown as a destination. Develop marketing strategies to position downtown as an attractive destination. Four, support local entrepreneurs and startups. Offer incentives and resources to encourage local entrepreneurs to start businesses in the downtown area. Five, improve the infrastructure and aesthetics. Make sure it looks nice. That's my take of that. Six, encourage mixed-use development. Promote development of space that combine retail, residential, commercial, that can help create a vibrant downtown and foster a sense of community. I got that in 10 seconds.
I think
so. It's a good thing you already knew it and that you already have folks on the ground
that's
doing
crazy.
It.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm saying. And doing at least six, maybe all of them. Right.
So we'll talk a little about what's happening at Invest Newark about that, and then we get into what Audible is doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So glad to be on the show again today to talk about this retail reactivation initiative that we've been working on at the request of and guidance of our mayor. But it was really interesting. What you just said is sort of what we're doing, right? We're trying to incentivize businesses to come downtown, to activate the spaces downtown. We've got storefronts that need occupants, but what we really want is we want to incentivize these businesses to help us bring people down, activate the streets again. But also, right, we've got a downtown that's changing rapidly day by day. People need services. It's clear people want to be here. If you look at the number of people that come down here over the summertime for our events. And also, it just helps to improve the aesthetics of downtown, right? You get more people here, more thought partners, and it's a win-win. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to show how serious we are about it, we are willing to put money in behind this. So, you know, it's not a secret. We've got this program out. We're taking applications. Depending on the size of your space, you can get up to $650,000. So, you know, put your money where your mouth is, and that's what we're doing.
That's excellent. Aisha?
Yeah, and the only additional thing I would add is, you know, under your leadership, Mayor, and a lot of the local artists really have been engaged. So from a arts, events, and activations perspective, I think that's also a critical component of the revitalization effort. So at Audible earlier this year, we launched the business attraction program. So it really kind of complements what the city is doing more broadly. And it's targeting both commercial tenants and retail tenants. So we're really trying to address all of this vacancy downtown, particularly in Harriet Tubman Square, the northern end of the Arts and Education District. And I think really looking at it comprehensively, right? It's not just kind of trying to throw money at a problem. It's really thinking about the programming, the support, removing some of the barriers that a lot of the entrepreneurs and founders that we're attracting typically face when they're trying to move into brick and mortar, right? And so we're saying, let's remove all of that and just make it a lot easier for people to operate, to set up shop, to connect to what residents and visitors want and need. So it's a really exciting program to be able to work on, a kind of continue so much of the broader economic development goals of the city and do it with a level of focus in an area so you can really begin to see the economies of scale. And so for us, because Audible's headquartered here and Harriet Tubman Square happens to be our front yard, it was kind of a no-brainer to really try to double down on the both commercial and retail vacancy in the neighborhood.
So what can they use the money for in both instances? Are there limitations on it? What can they do with it?
Well, for the retail reactivation, we really want to help people get these stores up and running. And you know, some of them, you know, they're in various states of I'd say disarray. Let's not say disrepair, but disarray. So they're going to need
disinvestment, some intentional.
That's right, and some intentional, right? So they're going to need everything from equipment to, you know, some new sheetrock. I mean, we want to get these places up and running again. We hope that people will be able to layer different incentive programs, some from the state, maybe even from Audible as well. The state has the rent program. You know, we're focusing on getting sort of the store itself open and getting the equipment in there and getting things ready for folks.
Yeah, and so for the Audible program, it's up to $250,000 over 2 years, again, for retail or commercial, and businesses can use it for their lease subsidies. It can act as a lease subsidy towards capital fit out, equipment, and a proportion, don't quote me, I don't remember if it was 15 or 25%, can be used towards staff or overhead, because the idea is that you're moving here to expand, right? Like, we're really zeroing in on this, not just from a retail vacancy perspective, but from a job creation perspective, right? And so we want them to be hiring locally. On top of the $250,000, we're incentivizing them to hire locally, we're incentivizing them to live locally, and we give them their employees $500 a month for their first year. So, and if you're a commercial tenant, particularly in startup, and you have where you're accessing AWS credits, we're giving you that as well. So we really tried to pull together a comprehensive package and not just kind of zero in on one thing, but really work towards, like, what are all the barriers that businesses face when they're trying to expand or relocate?
Right. Are there any other benefits that you think people can get that are not, like, financial, of being in this space? Like, what are some other kind of benefits that you think people could get?
Yeah, so at Audible, we actually have, I've joked about this before, like, I never thought I'd be quoting corporate principles, but we have a corporate principle around activate caring. So there's an expectation as employees that you're supposed to be serving.
Yeah.
You are hired under that principle. You actually sign a pledge, and your annual increase is dependent upon how well you activate caring. So it's the onus is on my department, actually, as well as individual employees, to identify opportunities where they can be lending their skills or expertise. So we actually match Audible employees with small business owners, whether that's in marketing, business development, sales, finance, you name it. So if we're saying collectively we're trying to build this ecosystem, again, not to just throw money at it, what are the other systems and support, mentoring, coaching that we can provide? So we're really trying to lean in on that.
So I do want to ask about the employees at Audible are going to be, I guess, like, paired up with business owners that own startups to help them along the way and along their journey. Okay.
That's correct. Yeah. And we actually do that now, mm-hmm. excuse me, for small businesses and nonprofits. We have a tech team that's called Tech Cares. They actually just built out a few websites for local nonprofits. So they are actively engaged in opportunities like that now, but we're trying to be very intentional about how we match them with the small businesses that we're bringing in, because we want them to be successful, right? We don't want to kind of bring them here and then a year later, we're like, okay, mm-hmm. we're right back in the same situation.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, we've been asked the same question. And so really kind of copying what Audible's doing. We're trying to do likewise, right? Once these businesses are there, we're not just going to walk away, right? We got to check in on them, monitor them, see whatever, you know, sort of post-care things they need.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah, so how do people apply? Go ahead.
I want to ask one more thing. Is there like a cap on how many people can apply? So either program.
Yeah. Yeah. So we don't have a cap right now. It's mm-hmm. still available. You know, at some point to set expectations, we will have to make an announcement about we're going to close the window.
Right.
You know, we want to try to get in as many as we can. And evaluate every single one that we get. So, you know, applications still, I will say we've gotten 43 already that we've, you know, in the process of reviewing. Certainly looking to get some more. And again, you know, it is for the entire arts and education district, but obviously there's some sort of critical pockets downtown that we'd like to see activated.
Right. Yeah, we don't exactly have a cap right now. Kind of similar to Invest Newark and what Marcus is saying, trying to see where the demand is. Mm-hmm. You know, we've awarded significant dollars in 2023 already to a few businesses. We announced 6 businesses in 2023. We have another dozen or so in the pipeline for 2024. And look, every business isn't gonna get the full 250 from Audible. It really depends. Our matrix, this is not an investment. We're not looking for a return on investment, but our matrix is really dependent upon their growth trajectory and job creation.
Right.
Right. So the more employees that you're bringing in or hiring, then you start to reach the top of that cap.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So how do people apply for this?
Yeah, so for the retail reactivation, we do have a link on the investment website. If you go to the InvestNorth website, there's an About Us and there's a news drop down. And the link is there for the application. But you can do it online. You can also print it off, hard copy if you want to do that, and send it back PDF. We also have a map of the entire Arts Education District. And of course, if that doesn't work for you, you need some help, you can just call the office, 973-273-1040. We'll walk you through it.
Sure. And for the Audible program, you can email globalcenter@audible.com. And we also have a website, newarksquared.com, that has a lot of information of what's going on around Harriet Tubman Square.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
I have like, for both of you, like 2 questions, but there's really one. One is like really outside of just the work you do outside of this, like are there any other things that you think people should know about the incentives that Audible has, programming that you're doing, stuff at Invest Newark, that's important. And why should they do those things in Newark?
Why not?
Yeah.
look, I've been saying this since I got here 8 years ago. I can't believe it's already been 8 years. I don't really think that there's any city in the country like Newark for a range of reasons. And I say that like as a native New Yorker, Brooklyn girl through and through. But the space and the place that Newark is in, I think is special, and there's a moment of opportunity for us to do this work collaboratively, do it with a level of intentionality, and kind of curate the city that we want that many other cities have just gotten wrong, quite frankly, right? That if you, as much as I love it here, I still wish I could be in Brooklyn, but I can't, right? Like, I cannot. And so I think coupled with so many of the policies that you've advanced, Mayor, there's a moment where we can really leverage and take advantage of. And so we're doing this specifically to help attract more, especially on the tech side, more female founders, more founders of color. You know, we're trying to remove these barriers. I think that, you know, if we do this right, we can really be the model across the country.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would just add to that that, I mean, Newark really is a business-friendly city. And now, again, in my job, I see a lot of business coming through the doors of, you know, I would say various, at various stages. Some are just starting out and some are more advanced. And that's because, you know, we offered various training classes. But what I get to see is a number of people who actually are doing quite well. They've sort of doubled down on Newark. They made it happen here. And we have the benefit of being a largely black and brown city. And so I get to see that like every day, right? People who are making that work. And, you know, if you don't believe it, just come hang out in Invest North for a day or two, right? You're going to meet some people who will tell you, like, yeah, it wasn't easy, but, like, made it work.
That's good stuff.
Yeah,
sounds good. You got anything?
I think that's it. I don't have any other questions.
Yep. Well, we done with you guys. We appreciate you coming on the show. It's incredible stuff that's going on, man. Good luck. Hopefully a lot of people are calling and trying to be a part of these programs. Yeah. So,
yes.
And we actually have the folks from Boulevard Bistro coming on next. So that should be a great discussion as well. There's already a lot of social media hype out there about these businesses
about
coming to Newark. So,
yeah.
People
that's
are
beautiful.
Excited.
Yeah. So thank you guys for coming on, man. We get you back here.
Thank you for having us.
So our next group of guests are Harlem's Boulevard Bistro's owners, Markeisha and Carlos Swepson. Also joining this conversation is the founder and owner of ABF Creative, Anthony Frazier. So we look forward to having him on our show. Yeah. All right. Just want to welcome you guys to the show. It's Markeisha, right?
Yes.
Markeisha and Carlos Swepson, we want to thank you.
Thank you for
being a part of Rising 60, our show here in the city of Newark. Talking about all the incredible things that are getting ready to happen downtown. And ABF Creative, our friend and brother here, Anthony Frazier, been on the scene here for some time now. Yeah. Want to talk a little bit about some of the stuff that you're doing down there as well. Want to thank you all for coming on our podcast. And we just got finished talking to, Invest Newark and Audible about all the kind of work that's going on to repurpose, reactivate, reinvigorate, redope downtown Newark, New Jersey. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be incredible. So starting with you guys, can you tell us a little bit about Boulevard Bistro? What are you doing now? How successful it is? Are you excited about coming to Newark? Anything you want to say?
Well, do you want me to start, Markeisha?
Yes, please, Chef.
I can start, and I just want to say, Mayor Raz, thank you for having us today, and thank you for the city of Newark for allowing Boulevard Bistro to be a part of your amazing city. And one of the things, just a quick story, I'm not going to be long with it. I can be long-winded. One of the quick things is that when we first opened up Boulevard back in 2014, was when we opened, we were actually our first spot that we were looking at was Newark.
Wow.
So, because I wanted to be in a black city. It was very important for me, even though Harlem is not a city, you know, it's a neighborhood inside
to
of a borough. It's a neighborhood inside of a borough, right? Yeah. So Newark was my first location that I had looked at. And I had looked at John's Place because it was one of my favorite places that I used to go with my dad and my parents. Not my parents, more of my dad and everything, because that was his little hangout spot with his boys and stuff. So we actually looked at that space. And I don't know, did we put an offer on it? Because I know we did it.
We were talking.
Appraisal. We did an appraisal. Yeah, we did an appraisal and everything on it.
Yeah.
Wow. And it was just something. It was a while ago. It was a while ago. That was like 2012.
Yeah. See, I wasn't around.
You were around.
I was the man.
You was around. You weren't the man, but you were around. So that's where it started. Then we opened up Boulevard Bistro in Harlem, and it pretty much just kind of took off for itself. I'm a trained chef, and this is all I've ever done. I've never really had a job outside of the food industry after leaving college in 92 from Virginia State. So it's the whole thing of just expanding, right? Like, expansion is always scary, right? It's one of those scary things that you look at, like, what is this gonna look like, right? And then, you know, we got comfortable over in Harlem, and we're like, and Harlem is a great neighborhood, right? So one of the great things that's happening with us is that I always believe that with restaurants, right, even if we become a destination spot in Harlem, you still have to cater to the neighborhood, right? That's the number one what drives your sales. All the great restaurants that are really knocking it out the park, and they have this big tourist revenue come in,
right,
the neighborhood comes also.
Right.
Right? So you'll see the same thing like you see at other restaurants. You'll see the tourists pull up.
Right.
Right? But then you'll see Fuquan and them off the block. They'll come in. Right. They'll come in on Saturday too for brunch. Yeah. Yo, chef, what's up?
That's the staple crop.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yo, you got me? I'm good. Yo, where Markeisha at? You know? So it's like, that's one of the things we had the beauty of doing. And you know, I have such a love for food. and just really expressing it to people. And I also believe that the food industry is one of the few industries where somebody could start as a dishwasher, ended up owning a multi-million dollar restaurant, right? Mm-hmm. On the restaurant group, right? So they could be inside of that, right? You could start there, and if you stay, you could keep going. You know, so that's why one of the things I'm pushing, even in New York City, I had a few meetings with David Banks, the chancellor over there, you know, talking to him about the vocational schools being so important inside of schools that they have taken away now. And I said, I'll do my part on the culinary end.
Yeah.
Because I believe that it's one of the things, like, for black boys, I think it's so important, because the thing about culinary is that you get the immediate satisfaction, right? You don't have to wait for the Oscars, right? If you did a good show, it's like Broadway. They're going to stand up and applaud for you that day, right? And that's one of the things as young black men that we thrive on that, right? That's what helps us keep going. Is that someone's telling you, oh, wow, you did a great job with this. Not after 6 months when you're sitting down with your boss doing an interview about what your performance looked like. Right. So that's kind of how we see it, and bringing that into Newark inside this amazing space that is going to be, we have the top design, we have top designer, top architect, we have, it's just going to be so great. It's going to be a theater space inside of the space.
Nice. Wow.
So we could do small events and everything. And then it's going to be a sit-down restaurant.
And a full bar
with a lounge.
Yeah.
Outdoor space.
Oh, it's just going to...
I'm excited.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing about chefs are, right? So I just have to give a disclosure, right? One thing about chefs, right? We're great spenders of other people's money, right? We dream big.
It's the best way to be.
But we're big dreamers, right? Because that's what keeps us going.
Yeah.
Is that we don't have a ceiling on how we see things, right? And Markeisha handles the finances and everything, so she's the one that has to reel me in and like, this sounds good, do you know what that costs, right?
Right on.
You know, because when we see things, we see them from beginning to end. Right. When I think about a restaurant, right, I don't just think about you sitting down eating my biscuits, right? Mm-hmm. I don't just think it from that point. I think about either you or your wife or you, when you made your reservation to come in, what was that experience like?
Right. I'm about to make mine right now for next week.
What was that next Saturday?
Yeah, that's it.
Let's go. So that's one of the things. And then it gives us an opportunity to hire with inside of Newark, which I'm so excited about. I'm so excited about getting some of these young men and young women in Newark that are excited about culinary, and I can express it in my journey through this process and just how great this industry is to us. And it's one of those things that, you know, there's colorism in it. There's a lot of racism in it, but it's in most things, right? But it's one of those things we can kind of push through and everything. So we're just excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're excited.
What about the model? You want to talk a little about the model of what Boulevard Bistro is? What do y'all do over there? Like, just serving food? People tell me, you know, you got people jumping off chairs.
You've been over there.
Doing backflips in the aisle. What's going on over there, man? What's happening?
Boulevard is a vibe. Boulevard is a good time, a vibe, especially our brunch. It's an experience.
Right.
We got music playing, our DJs playing, DJs that sing and I play sing music. And they just engage the guests. And then when they get to the food, and then we got the customer service, just hospitality. When you walk through the doors, you're feeling like you're walking into our home. So we know your name. We know what you like. Hey, Markeisha. Hey, chef. It's all true. And that's the vibe that we want to bring to Newark.
Right. So, we're gonna get that in Newark.
Yes.
You're gonna
DJ and everything.
Right. Yes.
You're gonna get everything.
Okay.
And you're gonna be able to get my number, Markeisha. Yeah, so you can text us directly.
Yes. Yeah.
I have guests literally today, literally.
We don't want the no frills ones.
Right. No.
Watered down version.
No, not at all.
Yeah, we want the real joint. No, we appreciate that.
So that's exciting.
Yeah. So I want to jump on you for a second here, brother. Mm-hmm. You've been listening attentively. So tell us a little about your company and what are you going to be bringing downtown Newark for us?
Yeah, it's already here.
Yeah.
It's already here. We're storytellers, you know, and we were just outside in the hallway, talking about how we're going to tell this story about how to open a restaurant in Newark. So we're excited about that. But yeah, ABF, we've been here for about 3-4 years now. You know, we were based in Newark Venture Partners. I was the entrepreneur in residence in there for quite a while, and just seeing Audible tell all these different stories. They're doing podcasts now,
right?
But they weren't doing podcasts at that moment,
right? Right.
And it wasn't a lot of podcasts that featured a lot of Black talent, you know, not just people talking about, you know, interviews, but we're talking about actual Black storytelling, like sound design, high-end immersive sound design. No one was doing that at the time. And so I just threw my hat in the ring. At first, they were a little reluctant because they were like, nah, man, you're supposed to be creating a tech business. Right. But I just had a passion to really tell stories. And so we launched. We got invested in by Newark Venture Partners.
Right.
Morgan Stanley invested in us as well. And then Audible invested in us, not just with the grant, but also invested in the company as an equity partner.
Nice.
And so we moved in downtown. We're in 550 Broad Street. We just opened up a studio in there. So we're doing a lot of custom production, a lot of production for brands like Prudential, like Ben & Jerry's, like Headspace. But then we're also doing our own productions. And we mostly focus on kids and family content. So it's not a lot of gossip content, things like that. It's mostly family, mostly storytelling. Our number one podcast right now is a show called Charm Words, which is a daily affirmations podcast for children of color. And so we get about 100,000 listeners a month on that one alone.
Wow.
And so, you know, we did that because, you know, we saw that, you know, affirmations are worth help close the grade gap with Black students with their white counterparts.
Right.
And so we said, hey, we need to create a platform that allows, you know, Black parents to have access to, you know, these mental health, you know, wellness gyms and like quick shots. And so we're like 500 episodes right now with that one.
That's beautiful, man. Yeah. So what is your end goal of that? You have, what do you think that you want to see this become?
I'm trying to become the next Disney. That's what I want. You know, that's my goal, is to create the next big media company. Do it right here in Newark.
Yeah, that would be major.
Yeah.
Can you talk about a little more about the grant? So people who might be listening, who might want to apply, how has it helped you? Would you recommend folks applying for the grant that Audible awarded you with?
Yeah, I got awarded the grant because, you know, it was... They saw a lot of potential growth in the company. They, obviously, all the things that we were doing, we were growing at a good clip, and so we needed to expand. You know, we needed space. We needed capital to maybe hire some extra engineer, an extra producer. And so, yeah, I would encourage anyone listening to definitely shoot their shot. They do have some requirements, but I don't care. You know, I feel like you should shoot your shot anyway and look for feedback. If you don't, you know, because that's the greatest feedback you can get. I done got turned down a million times. I done got said no to a million times, but I always go back and ask, you know, but why? Right. So I work on my, you know, down, you know, all the things that I need to work on, and I come back and I get it. So this isn't the first time I try with Audible. This isn't the first time when I first started ABF, we had no support. You know, we had to just grind it out, and then eventually they became undeniable. So I think that's what you have to do. Definitely apply.
So how you guys, Audible is also supporting you as well. So, I mean, how are you guys using that?
We are using that to the fullest extent of it. That so this deal came about 2 years ago, almost three years ago. We started working on it. My good friend Melvin Sykes down here in Newark introduced me to Aisha Glover over at she's still over at Audible,
right?
Saying that they were looking for a Black-owned restaurant to go inside the space. So we came down and did a site visit with our team, and we put a deck together.
Right.
We put a deck together and we pitched it. We pitched it to them and they said, wow, we like it. And then Don, the CEO, the founder of Audible, he came over to Boulevard in the city. He actually took the subway there because he wanted the whole experience.
That's him.
Yeah, he took the subway there.
100%.
He took the subway there and he came in and he was just blown away. He was like, wow, this is such a great, I can't believe it. He just had to see it. Because that's the thing about, once you have a restaurant that's doing well and it's is doing what you believe it should be doing. If I'm pitching something else, I can sit across you all day and tell you, I can say, you know what, just come on over here.
Yeah.
Right? It's like an artist. Like if they're doing a concert at the Prudential Center, they can tell you what they're doing. They can say, you know what, come to my concert. So it's the same thing. So we pitched it to Audible. And we had been working on some other projects already. And one thing that I knew that I had learned from other projects that we worked on that didn't go all the way through is that don't be scared to ask for the number that you're looking for, right? What you need to build out something and to be successful, ask for that number, right? And show them how you need that number and why you need that number. So Markeisha, along with some financial folks of ours that we hired, they put all the numbers together and everything. And it was so weird because we had our numbers were just got put together for Boulevard and the city during the pandemic. Right. So during the pandemic, it caused us, it slowed you all the way down, right? So it slowed you down and allowed you to put all your back of the house stuff in order to apply for the PPP and all the other federal grants that were available. So our numbers were pretty much already put in order for the Harlem location. So it was about transferring those over to Newark so everyone could understand exactly what we're going to be doing over here. And we're excited. The park looks beautiful. I have 30,000 ideas of what I want to do within the park already.
We haven't even finished investing in it.
I know, but I know what it's going to look
like. $1 million of stuff we got to do.
And I know what it's going to look like already. Yeah. I, you know, as a chef, we envision something. I can look at this table, and you can tell me it's going to be this and this and the trees. And I start looking at it. I was like, yeah, I can see it right there. It starts here.
See our Harriet Tubman monument over there.
Of course. We were there. We took our daughter over there. Yeah. We were over there with our team, with our architect and everything a couple of weeks ago. And we took our daughter over there. And our daughter's 5.
Yeah.
And we took over there and we sat her down and we let her.
Yeah.
And that was such a nostalgic, such a surreal feeling.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's like.
They're talking to you.
It's talking, it's talking to you, right? And it's like, these are things that our parents used to do with us. So then you get to see this whole thing and it's right here in Newark. And I'm so excited. You know, Melba's coming. Marcus is here already. You know, it's a bunch of other things happening. People are dying to get here. My buddy JJ from Field Trip.
Right.
I think he's working on a project in Newark too now. So then another buddy of mine, Murph, that's a big developer with BR that owns BRP Group. He's looking to come to Newark and do something. So people are excited. Like whatever you're doing, hey, man, keep going. Right. You know, when I talk about you all the time, I talk about you like I know you because I feel like I know you because we're the same age. Yeah, you were at Howard when I was at Virginia State. We have mutual friends. So I felt like, oh, I know the guy. But I always say, people say, oh, how's it going to be down there with the mayor and everything in Newark? I said, well, you know, I said, Raz to Newark, to me, is doing for Newark with black folks what we thought Barack Obama was going to do for black folks in America. Right. But he's going for Newark. That was just me saying it. You don't have to agree with it. I don't want to put you on edge.
You good?
I don't want to put you on edge. But that's how I envision it, right? Like when I'm talking about it, I don't have to make up any stories. I don't have to pull something and exaggerate it. I can just tell exactly what it is on how it looks. And it's exciting to be that's a good part of that because it feels good already.
So what do you like being downtown? Why downtown Newark? What does it feel for you?
Oh yeah, it feel good, man. You know, at first, you know, when they were giving me the tour of the building, they said, well, you can't get the New York side, you know, it costs more or something like that.
The New York side.
Right. When you see the view of New York City,
the
skyline.
Right.
I get that. But I got the best seat in the house. So cause I can see an entire Newark, you know, everybody who comes in, even the mailman, every time the mailman come by, he stopped for 10 minutes.
Check it
just
out.
Cause he wanna look at the view. Because we have an open space.
Right.
So every other office in the building is typical office.
Right.
So they have that view too, but nobody can see it because it's not open like ours.
Oh,
so
yeah,
when they come
yeah,
in, they yeah. see yeah. all of Newark
yeah.
right there. And I can see Georgia King Village. I used to live in a Georgia King Village neighborhood. And so I see that every morning I come in there. And so it's just a reminder of how far I came. So
that's incredible, bro. Yeah. That's incredible. I love that story.
Yeah, I love it. And then the park mural, they just put up a mural yesterday. Harriet Tubman. I don't know if it's of Harriet Tubman, but it definitely is a big quote of hers that just went up yesterday. So I love just being in front of the park, being able to see the kids playing outside every time they go out, every time they get out of school to let out. So it's just, it's fun to just like, just get up, take 5 minutes, look out the window and just experience the city and then get back to work.
That's dope.
Yeah.
We appreciate y'all for coming on.
You
know, we run out of time. He took all of the time.
Yeah, I told you I was going with you.
He's a good storyteller. He's a good storyteller.
You got to get him on the podcast.
We already talking. We already going to make something happen.
That would be super dope. I want to check your place out too, man.
Yeah, please.
So I got two places to visit. I got to check you out. I'm going to Harlem with like a crew to check out the Harlem.
Come on through.
We come with over there with the crew.
Come on through.
But we're not catching the train. I've been on a two.
No.
I've been on a two and three enough.
No.
Uptown, I just, I'm going to drive over there.
Drive over.
It's all good. Desiree, you got anything?
No, I'm good. I'm excited for Boulevard Bistro. I'm really excited about that.
I'm definitely excited. That's lunchtime every day.
Right.
This is gonna be exciting. It's going to be something that's just going to be, it's going to reshape dining in Newark.
Right.
It's going to be one of those things that purposely, right? Because so many times folks open restaurants and they're not chefs and they're not hands-on chefs. And that's not a slight at anyone, but I'm still a very much a hands-on chef. You know, sometimes more than I want to be, So that's what's going to be the excitement that it's going to bring for folks. And they're going to be able to experience some great Southern food.
I'm ready.
Cooked to the best of his ability.
Right.
All right, y'all.
Excited.
Thanks for coming on. Let's take this picture and appreciate all the listeners that listened out today.
Thank you.
All right. This was a great conversation. I want to thank all of our guests, Aisha Glover, Marcus Randolph, Markeisha Swepson, Carlos Swepson, and Anthony Frazier. Downtown is going to be on and popping soon, y'all. You got to come check us out down there. And make sure you share this episode and all of the episodes of Razzin' 60 with your family, friends, and social circles to stay updated on the many, many exciting initiatives that are transforming our great city of Newark. And remember, small businesses are the backbone of our economy and the cornerstone of our communities. Barack Obama, God bless you. Godspeed.